Hello and welcome to Developer Marketing Stories. My name is Matthew Ravel.
And I'm Adam Duvander. Today we are excited to welcome Corey Quinn of the Duckbill Group. Normally you see and hear him screaming at clouds talking about Amazon bills. But today we are going to talk about the way that they get customers, the way that they work with developers, and also need to speak to that business leader audience.
And before we speak to Corey, I'd like to just share with you about Developer Marketing in Practice, which is a program of coaching and training that Adam and I are running. Now, if you are someone who is moving from marketing into developer marketing, or you're looking to level up your DevRel career, or maybe you're a technical person, a developer who wants to come over onto the DevRel dev marketing side, then this is for you. Over a period of 6 to 12 months, depending on which plan you pick, we'll give you one-on-one personal coaching, and also we'll put you through a training program that'll give you the frameworks, the understanding, the concepts, and the measurements that you need to succeed in a developer marketing career. So go to developer.marketing to find out more and to apply to be on the program. Now, though, we're going to speak to Corey.
Corey, welcome. We like to know if you could take us back to that moment when you decided to start Duckbill Group.
I think that is a good way to view it, only in hindsight, where you look at the history of what anyone has done. It seems like there's a path and a plotting inevitability between this is where I went from here, obviously, to the next thing, then obviously to the next thing. I didn't have a freaking clue. It turns out I'm one of the best in the world at a very specific skill, which is getting myself fired by surprise from jobs. And after that happened for the umpteenth time, I couldn't stomach the idea of just getting the same job again with different faces. Because when you're in the DevOps space, it doesn't matter as much what the company does in most cases. Whether you are shipping boxes or streaming bits, it really doesn't matter. Keep the site up. And it's just a question of different tolerances. It is more portable between companies than most engineering roles, I suspect. The problem that I had was that, okay, if I don't want to do the same thing of running DevOps teams and being a DevOp myself, that is how I singularize it, you can deal with it, then I decided that let's see something else. What can I do that lets me apply the skill set in a way, ideally as a consultant, but one of my problems is when I get bored, I cause trouble, and that, as a consultant, when I get bored, that means the engagement is done and I can move on. So it was a question of, okay, what expensive problem would people be willing to pay a fixed fee for? And I know how to solve in relatively short order, because as soon as you start billing by the hour, you're lost when it comes to independent contracting. Jonathan Stark has this whole book series up, Hourly Billing is Nuts. And he's onto something in that sense. You're going to work aspirationally about 30% of your time as a consultant on the billable thing that you do. The other 70% is stuff that you have to keep the lights on: accounting, marketing to new customers, servicing existing ones, relationship building, and the rest. And I looked back at my own career. What problem did I have that I would pay to make go away? And it was pretty clear to me that the AWS bill was one of those things that cropped up at the least convenient time. It has not been baked into any of our planning. You don't get points for saving on it. There's no glory there. I just wanted this to go away so I can get back to doing the thing that I'm ostensibly good at as a DevOps engineer. Who can I just throw this to? And there really wasn't anyone like that out there. So I figured, all right, we'll give it a shot. Worst case, I just do this for 6 months and then get a real job again.
Was there anyone who said, that's crazy? You know, you've had these DevOps roles before. You know that it translates between companies because you just said that, right? Why not go and you get the next one?
Only one person and everyone that I spoke to about this idea had a negative approach on it. And he was one of the founders of Heroku. I'm not kidding. And his exact feedback was, well, I don't see how you turn this into a $500 million exit. Okay. I don't think that was in the list of things I needed in this life to be happy. I mean, power to people who can get there and pull it off. I don't need a yacht fleet. I basically am okay with just paddling around in the backyard in a dinghy. Everyone else thought it was great. And it was, oh my God, I would love to be able to just go and throw that to someone else and not have to worry about it. I did talk to some people who led me down the wrong path, Joe Ruscio and Pete Cheslock, both of whom were people in my orbit who themselves were terrific folks working on the AWS side.